Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 390th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks and content available only to our patrons at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon.
I'm Doug Gennarino's. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 390, as we race towards episode 400. And what an exciting time that will be. Thank you for coming to the show. Episode 399 is going to go out to our favorite bot, Sportivo AI. the real ones know what I'm talking about. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord if you don't know. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. And thanks for the people in the Discord who were backing me up and protecting me against that mean Munaf Manji, the machine, who is dragging my name through the mud in the Discord. How dare a baseball podcast host come into the Discord and talk trash about me. But just because my picks are trash doesn't mean I'm trash, Dan. I'm a human being. Yes, I'm speaking to someone else. It's Dan Gumby-Vreeland. His picks are not trash, and especially not on Mondays, because Mondays are for regional MMA.
Yeah, I had a little bit rougher of a time this Monday. I went only 2-3. Granted, one of them was a plus 120 underdog, so you know, basically cracking even or right around it. But got some like weird results out of Cage Warriors 158 over in Rome. It turned out some of those Italians actually won fights.
I was seeing a lot of bad things about the Italian fighters.
I will tell you that. They may
inexperienced
have won,
Italian fighters.
They may have won fights, but that doesn't mean they look good.
No.
And
I didn't catch the event because I wasn't hearing very good reviews from you people in the Discord. So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to waste my time with this.
It wasn't entertaining. I went back and watched the fight with Sylvester Miller headbutted somebody like 31 times because that's his MO.
Yes.
Because that's funny.
That's what I hear, yes.
Yeah, it's funny. But apart from that, no, let's say this. I advertised it as maybe not the highest level Cage Warriors card you're ever going to see, and I handicapped that portion of it correctly.
Congratulations for that, then. What are we doing this week, this episode, Daniel, and why? Because there's a lot to choose from, apparently.
We're doing LFA 164, first of all, because I just enjoy watching LFA more than I enjoy watching most regional promotions. They're usually pretty easy to get odds on. They're usually on Friday, which mixes it up a little bit and makes it a little bit more entertaining. Although I'm seeing a sign that says it starts at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
It does. It's late Friday night, people.
Yeah, what are we doing there? I hope the main card's like two fights. Otherwise, that might be a DVR moment and watch in the morning, because that is very late for us East Coasters. But anyway, it's usually easy to get lines on. They don't screw their fighters over by not sending them to a fake playoffs they made up. So that's a bonus in their favor.
Whoa. There. Throwing shade at an unnamed promotion, I believe.
How they shamelessly just plugged their playoffs is like, look at who earned their way. And like threw out seven tweets. It's like, dude, we just watched you take somebody out that you don't like and put in the guy you paid more money. Like,
yep.
Don't give us the it's like a real sport thing, because like nobody nobody watched the Chargers pull all of their starters in the last game of the year, and then were like, oh, but we got to pull the Chargers from the playoffs. They weren't trying. It's like, no, they had won enough so that they get to keep going. Like, that's how it works. So you can't play the real sport card anymore now. You've lost that.
Yeah, it is true. So that's why we're boycotting that promotion that we're not going to name. Is that why
it's just another? It's another reason that, and because their odds are usually like -8,000 on, you know, the favorites and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's true. Highly uncompetitive matchups. Whereas we've got, you know, I haven't seen odds for this card yet, but like,
I have good news. I just found odds.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I said yes, ma'am. Yeah, I do. So you can guess.
That's a fun little twist, because I looked this morning and didn't see him.
Yep. But we can play everyone's favorite game, Gumby. Guess the odds.
The odds. Yes, that's a good one.
It wins people money, so obviously people love it. And then next week it's going to be all about the contender series, right?
Yeah, I'm pumped for it. Week one is taking a little bit of a beating. I think there's still a lot of fun fights on it, but that one had one guy is fighting his now third opponent. Kevin Borges is now fighting Victor Diaz, but he was supposed to fight Joshua Van, who you remember just got signed straight to the UFC. And then he was supposed to fight Hickson Zetadim, and Hickson couldn't get a visa out of Brazil. So we're now on his third opponent. So that one's taking a little bit of a beating. But apart from that, decent first episode. I think you're going to start to see the real meat and bones of this contender series. Week two is really good. There's a couple really good ones on week two. And then week three is filled with bangers.
Yes, there you go. There is your, I was going to say, are we going to do a contender series preview episode? We don't need to, because Gumby just did it for us right there, right?
Yeah, that's the short piece. And if you want the full piece, come back next. We actually released the contender series ones on Sunday. So come back next Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say we better drop it early. Like, it's hot, Gumby, because people need the picks. And the odds usually are posted.
They're already out.
Contender series, right? They're out already. Fantastic. As are this week's, as I said, this week's episode, the FA odds, I just found this morning, actually a couple minutes ago. So there you go. All right, before we get into that important news announcement, Sports Gambling Podcast has a Patreon. Do your part in the war against corporate gambling and sign up for the SGP Patreon. There's tons of exclusive content, contests, and merch just for our patrons, plus a monthly SGP Stories podcast, an ad-free, uncensored show highlighting the best stories from decades of being degens. There's even a Discord channel just for the patrons. Plus, if you're in the regular sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, you get your emoji and name and stuff are real fancy. So just check it out. You get gold. All right. Gold, I tell you. The Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon is a great way to score exclusive perks and support SGPN. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'm sure you're already there, but hit /Patreon at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/PATREON. Get all the extra bonus content into your eye holes and ear holes and all the other things you stick things in, I guess. Let's move on, shall we, to Friday. It is a Friday event, as Gumby said, 11 p.m. Eastern. Start time, LFA 164, Mazo, a name you may recognize, versus Lovato. It is going down from the Southwest University Park in El Paso, Texas. Gumby, you know what I have to ask. Have you been to this in the Southwest University Park before?
I have not. But I've been to El Paso. I have, yeah.
You have? Yeah. I thought you weren't west of a certain area.
I was in Texas. Before. I was in Texas for a little bit.
All right. There you go. There's always a new wrinkle to Gumby's life that we haven't heard of. Have I been in Texas?
I went to the Cowboys.
Maybe three.
Of course I've been in
Texas. Oh, yeah? Well, look at you. Look at you. All right. Let's start off with, you skipped a fight. So we're going to start off with the main card opener. Featherweights, Larian Douglas, L-E-R-R-Y-A-N. That's a new name. Have you ever heard of Larian before, Dan?
No.
Larian Douglas versus Isaac Thompson. I know those names. All right. I will tell you about, I got to remember, no odds here. I'll tell you about Thompson first. 4-1 with 3 knockouts. He himself has been knocked out once. He's 1-1 in the LFA. He's won 2 straight fights. Last one via T/KO. Used to fight up at lightweight. 6 years younger than Douglas, an inch taller. blank odds. Douglas, 8-4, two knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is his LFA debut. So in three of his last four, including winning his last fight via knockout. That was back in April 2022, however. He used to fight down at Bantamweight, was regional champion, 2013 pro MMA debut, blank odds. Fill in the blanks, Gumby.
So Larry Davis has got to be a dog here. I'm going to say, let's say plus 175.
Plus 255.
255?
Is that good? Yeah. Is that good or not? Are we picking him?
That's good because I'm actually going to take Douglas here. I will Ooh. Say, is he the most impressive of the two fighters here? No, not by a long shot because Thompson's only 21 years old and he's like kind of really learning on the job a little bit here. But there's a lot of things that Douglas does that like make me worried about how Thompson fights. So he's really bouncy. He uses lots of lateral movement side to side. He blitzes really well. There's very little windup on his kicks though. And he throws his kicks from every angle into every height and all kinds of things like that. And the blitz really messes people up, especially on the regional scene. You know, like that kind of like blind aggression sometimes can play really well in your favor. And with Thompson, he's the kind of guy who, like, when he's closing the distance, sometimes he, like, messes up that distance and winds up in the clinch no matter what. He's got decent stuff in the clinch. Like, he throws some nice elbows in there and, like, controls well. But, like, he doesn't really get any takedowns in there. So it's mostly just, like, wasted time. And I think if he does that too much, like, the moments for Douglas are going to be much bigger than the moments for Thompson. I also, like, while Thompson's got, like, knockout stuff, because obviously he won his last fight by TKO, and he's got a couple other knockouts prior, he just doesn't have that, like, blow-me-away power that I think that you could possibly see out of Douglas, especially if he's rushing forward. You know, I've seen him, like, you know, one-hit quit people. I also think he's got some, like, jiu-jitsu in there that people kind of sleep on. He's fought good fighters. Like, his losses are to good dudes. Like, he fought Chepe Marsicol. So like, I think he's probably being underrated here, and 255 is definitely too tempting to pass up. I liked him at 175, which is originally what I had handicapped him at. But yeah, 255, I don't think you can pass on that.
All righty, let's do it. And we love fighters that stumble into the clinch blindly, Dan. We love that, right?
Yeah.
Especially if they have their opponent on the ropes.
I like that almost as much as I like jumping Gillies.
We don't love anything as much as that though, but yes, it is close. All right, let's move up a couple fights, but down a couple weight classes. We're going down to flyweights. Jordan Burkholder versus Josiah Reyes. I will tell you about Reyes first. The Silver City Strangler. Three knockouts, one submission, and he has a serial killer nickname. He's been knocked out once. He's 2-1 in LFA. He lost his last fight via TKO. He's 7 inches taller than Burkholder, 8 inches of reach on him, plus 155. Burkholder, Butters is the nickname. Is that a South Park reference? Is that why he's called Butters, Dan? Do you know?
I think it's probably got to be, right?
Yes, probably. But Butters can't really fight. So do we really want to pick him? I don't know. I'll tell you his record. He's 4-0, one knockout, two submissions. This is his LFA debut. He's won three straight fights via finish. So maybe this Butters can fight. He's at minus 185.
So you gave me the odds.
I gave you the odds by accident. Yes. What were you going to guess? Sorry.
For those who were hoping that he wouldn't give me the odds, so I could tell you, I did have him penciled right around negative 200 or a little more. So he's a little lower than that. By the time this hit your ears, my guess is the money came back in on Burkholder, because that's who I'm going to pick here. I'm going to pick Burkholder. I think the biggest thing for me in this fight is that Reyes kind of likes to wrestle a little bit. But, like, he's really not explosive, and his technique isn't good enough that makes up for his lack of explosivity. On the feet, he's, like, very hittable. And Burkholder, like, is he doing anything amazing striking? No. Well, he's a 4-0 prospect, but his boxing's tight. He keeps his hands up and in. He switches his stances once in a while to keep you guessing. His leg kick, I guess, is, like, above average. Like, he's got a good hard load leg kick. And, like, he's just so strong. And for me, in this fight, I think the difference maker is just, like, that pure athleticism versus the guy who's, like, kind of stringy and long and, like, doesn't do a good job of, like, exploding through his takedowns. I think you're going to see Reyes shoot a takedown in this fight and Burkholder wind up on top. Because he'll just like counter it, scramble, he'll stuff the head, he'll sprawl out, and he'll move to the back or something like that. Like Burkholder will just be on his back pretty quickly.
Stringing along sounds like a Gumby.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not as stringy as I used to be.
No, it's true. It happens. You got a grown man strength now. That's why. So that's the way it goes. All right. Let's move up to welterweights. Glacio. There's another name. Have you ever heard of Glacio before?
I've heard Glacio before. There's a couple of Brazilian fighters named Glacio. Oh,
okay. Not just this guy. Glacio Elizeiro. And yes, he is Brazilian versus, oh boy, Dan.
It's Mick not actually Tebeck. As hard as you think it is.
I know. Mick Tebeck? Mike Tebeck? Or is it Mike or is it Mick?
Tebeck or Albe? It's Moch Tebeck.
Moch Tebeck. Moch Tebeck.
Nope. Don't say the K. Nope. Mo Tebeck.
Oh, Mo Tebeck.
It's really? Mo Tebeck so or by.
I can spell the name much better for you, sir.
You say the Y like it's an I. It's okay. Oral by.
Oral by. And he is from where, Dan?
Kyrgyzstan.
There you go. And this is 3 5-minute rounds at 170 pounds. I will tell you about Oral by. Oral Bai first, 9-1-1, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the LFA. He's won 4 straight fights. However, he has not fought since May of 2022. He's not lost since December of 2020. He used to fight at lightweight, 2 inches taller than Elizeiro, and he's at minus 400. No, he's not, Dan. He's not at anything. You didn't hear
that,
right?
That's right about where I would have had him.
Elizeiro, Salva Mar.
I was actually hoping a little higher than that, to be fair.
Okay. Salva Mar. Do you know what that means? 2 words. S-A-L-V-A space M-A-R.
Well, Mar means sea. So salt, yeah. Salty sea?
Yeah. When you Google it, it says sea saves. Does salva mean salt, though?
No, I don't know. I don't speak Portuguese well.
No, it's sea something. Sea saves, according to Google. That doesn't really make sense, but maybe it does in Portugal or in Brazil. He is 10-7, Elizeiro. 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 1-3 in the LFA. He's won 1 of his last 3 and 2 of his last 5. No, sorry. He's 1-3 and 2-5, so even worse than that. Did win his last fight, though. That was back in June of 2022. Used to fight at lightweight, 2011 pro MMA debut. And I told you the odds kind of by accident. But you were guessing what?
Well, I probably would have guessed around there. I might have gone a little higher. I think Elizeiro is going to be a huge dog in this fight, like a huge dog in this fight. You said if he's negative plus 400, I bet you currently. Yeah, plus 300. I actually like Elizeiro in this fight at that number.
Really?
So here's the thing. Does Oralby have the record that should make him a colossal favorite? Yes. But if you watched his fight with Jalen Fuller, he's like wrestling and nothing else. There's nothing there except for his wrestling. Like, he spent maybe 30 seconds on the feet with Jalen Fuller, and like Jalen Fuller got the better of that. Jalen Fuller's like, dude, that dude is like long, lanky, 6'2" at welterweight looking dude with an 80-inch reach. And like, of course, that guy gives up takedowns, right? Like he's clearly a kickboxer. And so Oralby got in on his legs all the time, took him down, had to struggle a little bit for it, but anytime he was striking, he looked lost. And if you look at the people he's fought, it's like 0-0 on the Kyrgyzstan regional scene, 3-0 on the Kyrgyzstan regional scene. Like, they don't even have names for, like, the promotions he's fighting for. And Elizeiro, dude, his record's bad, right? 10-7. You're thinking, I better get better than plus 300 for a dude who's 10-7. But look at who he's fought. He fought Chris Brown, who is a great prospect, been in PFL. Christian Aguilera, who is in the UFC. Aaron McKenzie, who's on the Ultimate Fighter right now. Ishmael Bonfim. Like, he's out there fighting. I mean, he beat William Starks in his last fight, and we just watched William Starks look, I won't say good, but he looked pretty darn good on his last fight against Johnny Hopper, in even the one against Manny Murrow. So, I think he's got a lot of potential here. I think he's been in training camp for like forever because he was supposed to fight Solomon Renfro before he got the call to PFL. And also just like from a standpoint of what he does, it's like he strikes pretty damn well. Like he's much faster on the feet than Oralby. He's got way more weapons up there. if long as his takedown defense holds up a smidge, he should just like outclass him on the feet. Now, I am worried that he gets tired, and I am worried that, like, you know, maybe two takedowns wins the fight for Orobai. But at like plus 300, and when this balloons up to like plus 450 because people are jamming Orobai in their parlay, like, Elizario's worth a stab there. So yeah, I'll take him at 300.
All right. He's taking stabs at people. And someone he mentioned in that breakdown, we're going to break down very, very soon. But since we are on a underdog kick right now, because Gumby just picked a big, you picked two out of three have been big underdogs. We are also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NFL season right around the corner, and Underdog Pick'em is a great way to get down on a ton of NFL player props and is available in a ton of markets. Plus, plenty of opportunities to win in their daily MLB contests. And, of course, make sure to enter Best Ball Mania 4, where first place gets $3 million. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit. Bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Jelen Fuller, you mentioned, and we're going to break down his fight right now. I'm going to remember not to give odds, maybe. This is a 3 5-minute rounds at welterweight, Jelen Fuller versus Daniel Frunza. I will tell you about, let's talk about Fuller first, since we've been talking about him. He's the gentleman, Jelen Fuller, 7-3, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 6-3 in LFA, loss, win, loss over his last 5 fights. He got knocked out in his last fight. And he is an inch taller than Frunza. Frunza, Tagano is the nickname. 6-2 with 5 knockouts. He's been submitted twice. That's the only way he has lost. This is his LFA debut. He's won 2 straight fights, both via T/KO. And he's 2 years younger than Fuller. And I remembered. I didn't give you a nod. Hooray.
So Fuller's got to be, like, what? Negative 275 here?
Minus 350.
Minus 350. Okay, that's a little higher than I probably would have liked here. But I'm still going to go with Jelen Fuller. I think... So my big issue with his opponent, Frunza, is he just, like... It seems like he's way too easy to get hit. Because he fought Gary Belletto, who... he's a CES champion, but I'm going to be honest. I don't think he's a very good CES champion. Again, his record's really padded, and he's like from the town that CES does shows, and I think they like him too much. But like, I don't think Gary Belletto is like a future UFC guy. I think he gets signed to Contender Series and gets flatlined. But like, Frunza fought him, and not only so he was way taller than him, but got tagged anyway and like dropped to the mat, and then immediately gave up a rear naked choke. But like, Belletto never put any hooks in. He just kind of like chilled there, letting him put a rear naked choke in with like none of the fundamentals to it. He didn't roll to his back. He didn't try to do a front roll. He wasn't protecting himself from being punched. It was just nothing. And so Frunza just like doesn't have very much in the way of like good ground skills. Whereas Fuller, like, Fuller's pretty sharp on the mat if he gets there. I also just think like being, I mentioned before, he's got an 80.5-inch reach at welterweight. I think he's just going to pop Frunza repeatedly from distance. The only people he's had trouble with are people who can, like, you know, wrestle him like a beast, like Orobai, or people who are almost as long as him. Like, Trey Waters is a 6'5" welterweight. So, like, yeah, that guy gave him trouble, too. Bruno Assis is a good grappler. So, like, apart from those dudes, it's been all, you know, like, all wins for him. And I think... his submission skills are right there. I think his length is going to come into play. I don't think Frunz is going to get close to him. 350 is a little steep for me, but he might still even be parlay material at that price.
Throw him in a parlay, perhaps. All right. What are we going to move on to now? How about main event time for a piece of shiny gold? The LFA Flyweight Championship. Sabina Mazo versus Sandra Lovato. Five-minute rounds. Flyweight, so that's 125 pounds. Let's tell you about Lovato first. The Peruvian Zombie. So we have the Peruvian Zombie versus the Colombian Queen. I like it when nicknames match up like that in fights.
Yeah, that's good.
It's fun. It's perfect. All right. Peruvian Zombie, we're telling you about first, Lovato. 12-4 with 5 submissions. She's never been finished in a fight. This is her LFA debut, and she's right into a title fight. 0-1 in PFL, 0-1 in Contender Series. Loss, win over her last 4. She may not have been a LFA fighter or champ before, but she's got multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Surprisingly, first time we've done that this episode. She used to fight down at strawweight. The Colombian Queen, on the other hand, is Sabina Mazo, 9-4, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted twice, 4-0 in LFA, and was the former champion of the promotion. She went 3-4 in the UFC. She lost 3 straight fights, last being via sub back in March of 2022. She's not won a fight since September of 2020. Used to fight up at bantamweight, 3 years younger than Lovato, 1 inch taller, and 5 inches of reach. And I didn't give you odds, so 3 out of 5 I remembered. Not bad.
She's got to be almost the same as Fuller, right? Like -300.
She being Mazo?
Yeah.
-250, you get better odds for her.
Okay. Maybe her and Fuller are the parlay then, because I'm going to go Mazo here. The thing about Lovato is she very much sits down on all of her punches, but like doesn't have a good sense of range. She throws this overhand right all the time that just perpetually seems like it's like 4 inches shorter than it needs to be. And she is kind of a short flyweight, right? Like 5'6" is not the tallest flyweight in the world. She's not like Miranda Maverick short, but she's like kind of short, and her reach isn't good either. It's only 65 inches. So she's going to be giving up 5 inches of reach here on Mazo. And I think that's pretty significant. Mazo also kind of like only loses to people who can wrestle with her. And Lovato's got some like decent defensive wrestling, but her offensive wrestling is not much to write about. I think Mazo's going to be faster. I think she's going to be way longer. I think she uses that length better. And I think like worst case scenario, Lovato gets it in her brain that she's going to like need to shoot some takedowns, and she shoots like 1 or 2 that get stuffed, and like then she gives back up. So yeah, I'm going to go Mazo here again.
Mazo again is the pick. All right, let's recap for you. He's got Mazo. He's got Fuller. They're the big favorites. He's got Lazziero as a very big underdog. Get in on that one. Burkholder as a favorite, and then Douglas as a pretty big dog, right?
That's right.
Any other bonus picks for any other promotions or anything, Dan? Anything else to keep an eye on?
Let me, because this makes for great podcasting, let me pull up that PFL card and see if there's anything worth a shit on it. Bubba Jenkins is going to wreck Jesus Pinedo. I don't know the odds on this, because again, you're asking me for it suddenly. I kind of like Ty Flores to beat Josh Silvera. I know I like pick Silvera to win at the very beginning of the year. And I'm not sure they even have odds there, but if Flores comes in at like 2-1 or 2.5-1, I wouldn't be shocked if he pulls up that upset. He's got like low key good grappling, and Silvera, like, yeah, he's got some R8 grappling too, but like I think he could surprise somebody. I do like Impa Kasangane. I think he's gonna win $1 million, and that's kind of funny to me.
It is.
Yeah. So, but nah, apart from that, I don't know. Maybe if you get good odds on Chelsea Hackett, maybe Chelsea Hackett.
That'll do it. That's more than enough, Dan, since you didn't want to talk about the promotion anyhow. All right, that concludes the LFA recap. You can catch us in the Discord now at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. We're in the fights part there. Make sure you check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com and the Patreon. You can check us on Twitter as well. We are SGPN MMA, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland. They're the handles. Instagram, I'm Jeff_Fox_Writer. I got a Substack you can subscribe to and get all my MMA writings in your inbox, and enter my pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. And get Gumby, more Gumby in your ear holes midweek with his Top Turtle MMA podcast. Do you know who's on this week? I think you told us already, didn't you?
Yeah, I talked to Alexa Kamer, who's fighting this weekend at UFC Nashville. But I also talked to a Contender Series dude who you're going to want to keep an ear out for when he eventually fights. And that's his name is Cameron Smotherman.
Nice name.
Yeah. You would wish he was was a wrestler with that name. He's not. He's not at all.
Sad. Incorrect. Incorrect name. He needs to change his name. All right. I think that's all the plugs I need to tell you. Gumby will get us out of here, and we'll be back Wednesday to talk UFC.
All right. I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's the Colombian Queen, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.